1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. In the world, many seek to be wise, to be mighty, to be noble, to be strong. And yet, as Christians, we are none of those things. As Christ's people, we are not the wise, the mighty, the strong. But that should not discourage us. That puts us in good company. Indeed, the best of company. For Christ is indeed, in many ways, the foolishness of God, which is wiser than men. And He is the weakness of God, which is stronger than men. And so, as we who are called are weak, as we who are called are not mighty, so is our Savior. But that from the vantage point of the world. The world looking in upon Christ and upon His people sees nothing that in its own mind would commend it, would commend Christ, would commend His church, or even faith in the Lord Jesus. And yet, as the apostle here speaks of Christ and of the proclamation of Christ from the vantage point of God and His purposes, indeed, here is wisdom. Here is strength. Here is wisdom that confounds the wisdom of the world. And here is strength that puts and brings to nothing the purported strength of the world. The Apostle Paul then, at one and the same time in the text before us, exalts Christ and puts into place this prideful world that sets itself against Christ. And in doing so, Paul not only commends again to us Christ, but commends us in Christ, as it were, and causes us to reflect upon the great blessings and benefits that are ours in Christ, and in doing so causes us to look again to Christ Jesus, the mediator between God and men, the Savior of sinners. In verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of who we are in Christ by God's grace. And in doing so, exalts again Christ Jesus. And in doing so, he draws attention to the centrality of Jesus Christ, to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, to the fact that apart from Jesus Christ, we have nothing, but in Jesus Christ, we have everything. And this was part and parcel of the Reformation in the 16th century. In the reading of, or before the reading of the scriptures, we made mention of the fact that, at least in popular conception, Reformation Day approaches October 31st. And at the heart of the Reformation, was not only an attempt to retrieve the true worship of God, as we heard this morning, but also an attempt to retrieve a proper understanding of the source from which salvation is obtained. Again, those two points being the points of Calvin's tract on the necessity of reforming the church. And the source from which salvation is obtained is God. And it is God who in Christ delivers us from our sins. For the Reformation then, as it proclaimed, or as it sought to retrieve the truth of God's word, emphasized rightly the centrality, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. They did so again, understanding that it was from the word of God alone that truth, the truth of salvation, was to be received and believed. As one author, one Reformed author of the 16th century put it, "The sure token by which we may thoroughly search out the truth of the Holy Scriptures is the very Scriptures themselves. For it is requisite that we should determine that piece of Scripture which is hard and dark by another part which is more plain and easy. And this because Scripture alone gives to us saving truth. And so if we are to understand saving truth from Scripture, we must interpret Scripture with Scripture. If we are to understand then the truth concerning Christ, we must look to Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture. And we must find those places in Scripture where the truth of Christ is proclaimed in all of its simplicity, where the truth of the centrality and the sufficiency of Christ are plainly declared. And here indeed is one of them. This same author who speaks of the significance of Scripture and interpreting Scripture by Scripture argues that from 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, we learn that the office of mediator belongs to none but Christ. And how is it that we learn that from this text? This same author reminds us that embedded in the names and the titles, Christ Jesus is a storehouse of truth. We often pass over these names. We pass over these titles, and yet they are significant because as they are used in reference to the Son of God who became incarnate and who gave himself for us and for our salvation, they remind us, indeed they declare to us, that he alone is the Savior of sinners. He alone is the one who stands between God and sinful men and who brings them together, who reconciles them one to another and unites them together in an unbreakable bond. Christ Jesus is alone the Savior of sinners. Christ Jesus is alone the mediator between God and men. Indeed, as we've already said, the Apostle teaches us here that without Christ, we have nothing. But in Christ and from Christ, we have everything. The totality, the completeness of our salvation. And as we think of these names and titles of Christ Jesus, as Paul uses them in this context, there are three things that we want to notice about our Lord. And we've already mentioned them in brief, but we want to give some attention to each of them. First of all, by referring to Christ as Christ, Paul teaches us and reminds us that this one is the sole mediator between God and men. Christ is the sole mediator, the only mediator between God and men. Paul says this very thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. But that truth is embedded in the title Christ itself. The term Christ means anointed. And throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew equivalent of this term pointed forward ultimately to the Messiah, the promised Messiah, who was anticipated in a number of types and figures throughout the Old Testament, most prominent perhaps in our minds, for a number of reasons, is David, the anointed king of Israel. But that term, anointed, with all of its messianic significance in the Old Testament, pointed forward to the one that was appointed by God to accomplish God's purposes of salvation. The one through whom, the servant through whom God would deliver his people, establish his kingdom, and pour out the blessings of salvation to the ends of the earth. It's important to recognize, however, that not only were kings anointed in the Old Testament and anointed with oil, with all of the messianic significance attached to that, but so also were prophets and priests, anointed with oil and so set apart to a particular calling or a particular office, function, service in the kingdom of God. But as given to Jesus, as ascribed to the eternal Son of God, the Word who became incarnate, who became flesh and dwelt among us, the title Christ, anointed, comes to its fulfillment. For this one, Jesus Christ, is anointed, yes, identifying him as the Messiah, the Lord's appointed servant, but this one is anointed not with oil, as the kings and the priests and the prophets of old, but he is, as John 3 tells us, anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure. Anointed with the Holy Spirit above measure. And we know that, and John, the apostle, reaches that conclusion about Jesus Christ on the basis of Christ's baptism, where the Spirit, descending as a dove from heaven, sent from the Father, lights, as it were, upon Christ coming out of the waters of baptism. And it is on that occasion that the Father speaks and identifies the significance of that anointing with the Holy Spirit. For he there says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." This is the anointed one that Israel, you have been looking for. This is the anointed one who in his anointing transcends and fulfills all of the previous anointings of prophets, priests, and kings. Here is the prophet, priest, and king. Here is the one mediator between God and men. He is the one appointed by God. He is the one anointed by God, and in that anointing approved of God. And he is thus fully qualified to be the mediator as the anointed. Fully qualified not only by virtue of that anointing with the Spirit above measure, but fully qualified because he is himself true God and himself true man. He is, in fact, in his very person as the incarnate Son of God, the middle. And so able as God and man to stand between God and men. And it is wholly appropriate then that this title belongs properly, ultimately, to this one person. This one who is God become man, the God-man, is truly and really the Christ, the anointed, appointed by God, anointed by the Father with the Spirit, true God, true man, the two natures united in one person, and so qualified, able to fulfill this office of mediator, to reconcile God to sinful men, and to unite sinful men to God forever, that we who are undeserving might dwell with God forever. And this office of mediator, just like the anointing itself, just like then the title Christ itself, belongs properly only to this one. There is no other mediator between God and men. Notice that Paul here in verse 30 says, of him, that is, of God, who's just been mentioned in verse 29. Of God are ye, you believer, in Christ Jesus, who, that is Christ, was made unto us wisdom from God. All of this that Paul is speaking of here is at the divine initiative. All of it is divine action. And that includes the appointment of the one in whom and through whom we come to God. Jesus Christ. And there is none other. Paul speaks in such a way here that there is no other way. No other way in which we may know wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. There is no other mediator. There is no other person who is qualified. No other one who is anointed to fulfill this calling and office of Christ. Christ alone is the mediator. The only one appointed anointed to this office and the only one who fulfills this office in the way of his saving mission. Christ is the sole mediator between God and men. But notice, secondly, how Paul, in speaking of him as Christ Jesus, emphasizes the mediator's saving mission. How is it that this one, Christ, who stands between God and sinful men, who in fulfilling his office of mediator accomplishes a salvation which brings sinners to God safely, securely, without condemnation? He does so because he is not only the Christ, but because he is Christ Jesus. That is, he is the Savior. Christ, the mediator, reconciles God to men and men to God, unites men to God and God to men forever by way of his saving mission. Again, the significance of the name Jesus. While Christ is his official title, Jesus is his, we might say, personal name. But it is a name given to him from heaven to speak, to identify his work, his mission, his purpose as the anointed servant of the Lord. Why is he named Jesus? Well, the angel in Matthew chapter 1 tells us clearly why. In speaking to Mary and Joseph, particularly to Joseph, the Lord appears to him and says that his betrothed is expecting, and that he should not fear to take her as his wife, because the child that she bears as the virgin is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the son that she will bring forth shall be called by this name, Jesus. Because, verse 21, it is he that shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. In fact, the name Jesus itself means Savior. The Old Testament equivalent is our English name, Joshua. And the name Jesus was perhaps not altogether uncommon in our Lord's day and age. But the significance of this name, of this person who bears also this title, Christ, is that he, as the mediator, will save. He will deliver his people from their damnable, condemned condition. He will deliver them from their sins. His mission as the mediator is to save, to deliver, to save and deliver from sins. from sins for which we are justly condemned before God. To save and deliver a people who are undeserving, indeed hell deserving, from the very thing, from the very sins which make them hell deserving. And how does he do this? He lays down his life for his people to deliver us from our sins, to make satisfaction for our sins. He takes the punishment that you and I deserve, and he offers himself as a sacrifice for us in our place. The sins which justly deserve punishment, the sins for which we deserve punishment, Jesus bears them. And he bears them on the accursed cross. And by doing so, he makes satisfaction for the penalty against our sin. And in doing so, he saves us. He delivers us. He brings us out of that accursed and condemned state and makes us a people redeemed, reconciled to God. Jesus Christ, he alone is the mediator between God and men, and he fulfills that calling by his life of obedience for us, by his death, his sin-bearing and curse-bearing death upon the cross for us, and even by rising again for us, and ascending into heaven for us, and sending forth the Spirit to us, and interceding for us, and also by coming again for us. Jesus fulfills his office as one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to deliver, and deliver he has. For indeed, as Jesus, the Savior, as Christ the Anointed, as the only mediator who accomplishes his office by way of his saving mission, we must notice as well that in Christ we have Christ's sure and sufficient mercy. Paul teaches us here that Christ is the sole mediator, that Jesus fulfills his saving mission, but that Christ Jesus, indeed in Christ Jesus, we have sure and sufficient mercy. Of him, that is, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. In Christ alone, it is Christ alone who was made unto us the totality of our salvation. Taken together, the terms that Paul uses here comprise the fullness of God's mercy as granted unto us surely in Christ and sufficiently in Christ. That is, God in Christ gives to us all of salvation and all the salvation that we need. There is nothing that is lacking. As ignorant sinners in Christ, we have wisdom. He was made unto us wisdom from God. As condemned sinners, Christ was made unto us righteousness. As unholy sinners, Christ was made unto us sanctification. And as enslaved sinners, Christ was made unto us redemption. There is nothing more that we need than wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And all of it has been given to us in Christ, because of Christ. And all of it given to us in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, out of divine mercy. The sinner ignorant of God, the sinner guilty before God, the sinner unholy before God, the sinner enslaved in sin and rebellious against God, cannot look to God and say, "You must give to me, Christ." But God is no miser. God, from before the foundation of the world, planned and in and through Christ achieved a salvation in which He freely and because of His mercy, because of His grace, because of His love, gives Christ Jesus and salvation in Him. Gives it freely. Again, we don't deserve it. We deserve the opposite. We cannot say to God, "You owe me." God is a debtor to no man. But we who are ignorant of God in our sin, we who are unrighteous before God because of sin, we who are unholy in our sin, we who are enslaved in our sin, we may come to God through Jesus Christ and freely receive Christ as all of our wisdom, as all of our righteousness, as all of our sanctification, as all of our redemption. And in Christ we will find that we lack nothing. We have everything. Everything necessary to be brought out of our sin and into fellowship with the triune God. Into communion, into loving communion with Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Everything, every mercy and all of mercy through the mediator and by way of His saving mission. And so even if the world continues to think that it is wise and we are fools, And even if the world continues to think that they are strong and we are weak, if we have Christ, if we belong to God through Christ, what does that matter? And if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you are in Him by faith, then my friend, you may rest assured that you have everything that you need. You lack nothing. For indeed, not only do you have, as it were, the blessings of Christ, the benefits of Christ, but you belong to Christ. You are united to Christ, the mediator. And in Him and through Him you have salvation. You are joined to Him. You are, as it were, one with Him in such a way that all that is His is yours, but more importantly, you are His. You are His possession. You are His inheritance. You are in Christ. And so, if you should boast, so if you should glory, you should glory in the Lord. My friend, rest in your Savior. And if you know not Christ, if you are yet apart from Christ, ignorant of the saving knowledge of God, guilty before God in your sins, unholy before God, enslaved to your sin, know this: Christ is the only mediator, but Christ is also a sufficient Savior. In Him is mercy. Flee to Him. Turn to Him. Run to Him. Trust in Him. And for all of your days, rest in Him. And if viruses come and go, if pandemics come and go, if financial crises come and go, if national upheaval comes and goes, know this: Christ will never come and go. You are His. You are His. And in Him, you may rest. Let's pray.